Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday.
Again, oh, wounded heart, be
Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, A Book is Born. Beverly Black here, and my guest today is Mr. Mark Tuggle, author, speaker, life coach. I'm just going to say that because the giftings that comes out of this man, when I read his bio, you'll understand. But the book that we will be discussing is Cultural Silence and Wounded Souls, Black Men Speak About Mental Health. Now, this is Season 10, Episode 3 of A Book is Born. Excuse me, Episode 2 of A Book is Born. And if you'd like to tune in and speak up, you can call 515-605-9741, or you can listen in live at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. A Book is Born and Tribe Family Channel are both Gumbo for the Soul international family brands created, owned, and operated by yours truly. All rights reserved. I hope I don't need to say that. But we're going to keep it real, real. At the beginning of the song, you heard them say happy birthday. That was a whole different song by the Shy Lights. I'm proud to be broadcasting live from the Shy Lights Chateau. And generally, I start the show with a song by the Shy Lights called Happy Birthday. Hence, A Book is Born. Because, see, when you're writing a book and when you finally push it out, baby, you feel like you've given birth. I would know. I'm 20 years in the business as Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So I'm going to get on to my guest. His bio is rich. Mark Tuggle is a community-based activist. That says it all right there for me, okay? Mental health advocate, self-published author and talk radio host in New York City. His new book, Cultural Silence and Wounded Souls, Black Men Speak About Mental Health, inspired appearances on podcasts in Los Angeles, New York City, Washington, D.C., Canada, South Africa, and the U.K. Now, when I said he was a speaker, I meant what I said. Mark has also served as a mentor for over 21 years to a young black man. Now, that's a beautiful thing to have someone mirror and mentor and guide you for 21 years to make sure that what you're going in the right direction. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I am proud and honored to welcome to the conversation Mr. Mark Tuggle. How are you doing, my brother?
Wow, Beverly Black Johnson, thank you so much. I'm in good spirits, and that was quite an introduction. I am humbled, I am honored, and I'm happy to connect with you because I think you have a beautiful spirit. I love what you're doing, what you have done, what you are doing, and for you to give me this opportunity to connect with you and your audiences are more than I can ask for. My prayers have been answered, so thank you.
Well, you know, it is a privilege when I have authors like yourself come on, and especially when you bring a real message, because, you know, I don't really delve into fiction. I know that art mirrors life, and so it has to be some darn good fiction for me to even, you know, blink. And the fact that you are bringing it real on a nonfiction self-help cultural basis is real. The song at the beginning is called Wounded Heart by a young man named Jeffrey McKinney that I met on Facebook, and I did just like I did with you. I reached out, had him come on the show. When I heard that song, I was done. Wounded Heart, Be Healed So You Can Love Again. Oh, my goodness. That speaks to cultural silence and wounded souls, Black Men speak about mental health. So we're going to delve into everything that has to do with you as a writer, as the person that is behind the birthing of such a phenomenal title. Where did you get the concept just to take those first steps? Where did the flame get sparked?
Well, in June of 2019, God put this on my spirit. My spirit tells me different things in different times, and I'm learning how to listen to my spirit when I'm quiet and peaceful. And I'm someone with lived experience. I was clinically diagnosed with generalized anxiety and moderate depression 29 years ago, and I didn't talk about it for a long time. And God said, you know, I want you to write and serve others. And so I listened to that voice. And initially it was just going to be an essay or maybe a haiku or a poem, but I called a buddy of mine who's also a creative person, and we thought it would be helpful to cultivate an anthology where other black men, diverse voices, can share their experience as well. And here we are, you know, it's out in the world. It's on Amazon through paperback and through Kindle. There are 30 men, 30 brilliant men from all walks of life, advocates, clinicians, educators, businessmen, musicians, rappers, et cetera. And they share about their personal experience and their professional views. And it's really important that we talk about this because we are wounded and we need to heal. And we've been wounded since our enslavement in this country, you know. And there's a lot of unlearning to do, a lot of relearning to do, a lot of learning to do. And I want to be part of that movement. So I thought it would be helpful and useful and valuable to ask black men to share their experience, to speak their truth, to tell their story unplugged. And this is done without McDonald's and Nike and Verizon. This is black men unplugged. They get to tell it the way they know it. And this is something that you're not going to get on BET or CNN or Fox News. This is their truth. This is their heart and soul. And God has used me as a conduit, as a vessel, as an instrument to share their stories. And I'm grateful that they were gracious enough to do that with me. And I'm glad it's out in the world now. And hopefully, you know, if we can prevent, Beverly, if we can prevent one black male from dying by suicide, then our collective pain will not be in vain.
I heard that as the sibling of someone that committed suicide. I commend your work. So that pretty much answers what motivated you to become an author, unless you want to add to anything that has to do with the motivational. Otherwise, are there any other writers in your family?
My oldest brother is a poet. He inspired me when I was a kid to write. He's the only other person in my family who's a writer.
So he inspired you when you were a kid. Let's go back to when you were a kid. Who is Mark Tuggle? Where are you from, the family dynamics, and then your brother's inspiration in that order, if you will?
I was born and raised in the south side of Chicago in the summer of 1960. I've got three brothers and three sisters. I'm the fifth out of seven. I was raised by two parents and my great-great-grandmother, who was 97. And my brother had an eclectic taste in music, so I would grow up listening to gospel, jazz, R&B, funk, soul, pop, so many different sounds. And I noticed that he would write poetry. And in the early 70s, some black men who wrote poetry in my neighborhood were often ostracized, ridiculed, misunderstood, feminized. So it's interesting how the role of gender can shape people's perception of manhood, about what a man is or what a man is not, what a man should do and should not do, how he should and should not express himself. But he let me know that it was okay, you know, and this goes back a long way. I'm 63. Your audience can't see my beautiful baby face.
Go ahead on. That's right. Blend on crack. I'm 64. We're playing.
Yeah. So, and you know, this thing too, that our next door neighbor was Lorraine Hansberry.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. My mother told me that.
That is amazing. Wow. Well, you know, it's so true what you were saying as far as, you know, as a black man being ostracized, can't, you know, speak in poetic terms. And, you know, that was intentional so that it's just like the designs and the ruses that you see in this day and age. There were designs and ruses in those days, and they worked. So someone had to come along and be the change agent. And the trajectory was then what? Changed. It was different because your brother validated, hey, you know, these words, these poetic words, you know, they rip. This is what's up. And you caught on with that, you see. And so that's a beautiful thing. You know, God gave us Langston Hughes and other great poets. And the fact that by the time, you know, you're growing up, it's not cool, you see. But that's by design. You see.
Yeah.
In seventh grade,
I entered a contest at school, and I won a contest at school. I wrote about the United States Olympic basketball team. It wasn't poetry, but it was writing. It was my first time entering a competition, and I actually won. It was called Rip Off and University.
Wow.
This was in 1972 when the U.S. Olympic men's basketball team got robbed by Russia. I wrote about that experience, and I won, and my teacher told me that she thought that I had a gift, you know, and I always remember that. She says, you know, you have a gift, you're a good writer, and that somehow stayed with my spirit. So you just never know who's playing seeds.
Come on now, you preaching. And that it's a good thing because you're in high school.
I was in seventh grade. I was 12 years old.
12 years old, and that is the subject that you're writing on. You doggone straight. Your teacher saw that because that's really deep for you to come from that perspective. You know, but you're Chicago's not handing out candy. You know. Growing up, that's the one thing you ain't getting. You getting a Hard Knocks life, Chicago. You know, that's the Shy Lights backyard right there. So
that's right. That's right. I grew up with the Shy Lights.
You grew up. I'm sorry.
I grew up listening to the Shy Lights.
Oh, you grew up listening to the Shy Lights. I heard that.
Shy Lights, Del Fonte.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That was a very good friend of ours, William Hart, that we lost from the Delphonics. Great sense of humor. That man's voice, his vocal acumen was off the Richter. But you think the songs were something. Whew, that vocal range in person. William Pugie Hart, y'all, rest in peace. Miss you, man. So your family dynamics planted the seed for poetry. Now, is this your first book?
Yes, it is. First time independent author at age 63.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Never too late to pursue your dream.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, I'm Beverly Black, hosting A Book Is Born. My guest, Mr. Mark Tuggle, first-time author. We're discussing cultural silence and wounded souls. Black men speak about mental health, and we're going to delve into his journey to this moment. So who came up with the title?
I did. It wasn't my first choice. I had some other titles in mind, but something about this title really spoke to my spirit, and because I really wanted this to be an intergenerational anthology, and I wanted people to be mindful of the fact that when enslaved Africans tried to escape the plantation, there was a white racist physician named Samuel Cartwright who described their condition as drapetomania, and that's where the whole mental illness came from. Is he had this idea in his head, and then you know this guy also he was part of the Confederate States of America, and he tried to justify his theories by relying on scripture, and so he decided that you know that there was something mentally ill with us by trying to escape our enslavement, the Middle Passage. The Trans-Atlantic Slave Trade. He thought that was a mental illness. That's where it started.
He thought, okay, let's break down. He thought the pathology in someone else's thinking can enslave you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that the pathology. I always look at the pathology of what I'm hearing or what I'm witnessing in the actions and behaviors of others. And when you break it down to that level, you start looking at the mind of man is an insane asylum all in of itself. The mind of
right.
man and, or woman, you know, I'm just mean the species.
Right.
It's an insane asylum in and of itself. There is madness and mayhem in the minds of men, you see, and this is, we see the products of it all around us. You know, America is still dealing with her dreadful, bloody past, and she's going to have a dreadful, bloody future if she doesn't reconcile, because our ancestors' blood is still seeping through the soil, you see. And so, I appreciate that you addressed the cultural silence, you see, because our black men have been ostracized and silenced to the point where, you know, you just take it and you provide for your family and, you know, coming through enslavement and coming through sharecropping. Oh, my goodness, the history and the mental trauma on the black family is beyond reprehensible. The egregiousness of what was done to us from two humans by humans, you see. So the cultural silence is embedded into, and so I'm glad you made this an intergenerational read and study that will carry, that will basically be timeless, because it's about healing from those, you know, generational wounds, the horrors of the past, and then the having to stuff it and be silent about it. Mind you, while you're being drafted off to war and, you know, ostracized out of the family when they start helping with food stamps or any type of housing, or not getting the job, passed up for the promotion, being hung and killed and, you know, ostracized because of the color of your skin. So what types of messages would you say best illustrates? Well, give us some of the, you said it's 30 men in the
yes,
book?
Yes, there's 30 different men, yes.
30 different men. Do you have the book near you?
I do. I have it right in front of me.
Would you read the back of it for us?
Let's see. Well, the back page has my part of my bio. So what specific would you like me to turn to?
Any of the excerpts from people, what are they saying about the book?
Okay, all right. So I actually asked six people to share their perspective. Cliff Alder is the founder and CEO of About Face Training and About Face Publishing. He wrote, as a black professional who worked in the private healthcare sector, as well as being an anti-racism campaigner for over three decades in the United Kingdom, I'm delighted such an important book has come along. The topic of black men and mental health is a difficult and often taboo subject matter due to the complex intersectionality of ethnicity, gender, and well-trodden misconception that black men are two-legged beasts of burden, incapable of feeling vulnerable or fragile. This book explores the black male psyche in a deeply personal way that astounds with poignancy and tugs at heartstrings in equal measure. Regardless of who you are or where you're from, you will undoubtedly benefit from the diverse perspectives in this thoroughly engaging book, filled with true life testimonies that are enlightening and educational. I nodded my head in agreement as each contributor's unique story began to resonate with my own experiences. I find myself somewhere between validation and acceptance. This truly is an important book that has harnessed the power of those who have felt powerless and isolated and used it to empower and bring people together. And this is from Cliff Falder, who transitioned last year. He was gracious enough to share his perspective on black men and mental health.
Wow.
I have another one.
Rest in
Can
peace.
I be one by a female?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is from Deborah Sledge, who's the founder of Deborah for Greatness, the home of Old Lady Magic, Rites of Passage for Seasoned Sisters. Deborah says, Mark Tuggle created space for black men to be vulnerable, stand in the truth, and further the path of individual healing and needed at the appointed time. Many spaces currently exist to heal and affirm the female psyche. Cultural silence and wounded souls, black men speak about mental health, opens the door for black men to acknowledge, accept, affirm, and embrace their delicate souls. Society teaches us to fear black men. Black men are socialized to hide their emotions. Black boys are expected to act like adults. No institution teaches us to accept and honor their humanity. As a result, unlike women, they suffer in silence. As the men in this book pour out their souls in its rawness, it gives others permission to do the same. Cultural healing must start with individual healing. We cannot respect and honor each other until we first respect and honor self. All parts of the black male psyche are welcome, needed, and valued. A deep bow to Mark and these men for breaking their silence, not just for themselves, but for the advancement of humanity.
And ladies and gentlemen, live on A Book is Born, Mark Tuggle. We'll be right back after this brief commercial break on Tribe Family Channel.
Brooklyn speculative fiction author Kathy Wright Lewis penned and published Mariah Seed, Why Hope Lives Behind Project Walls, Passion's Pride, Return to the Dawning, Mamarelli and Mamarelli's Lessons, children's book series, and a host of poetry anthologies and short stories. Her allegorical, Afrofuturistic works both uncover the history of African Americans in New York City, honors the African ancestors who built the city and those who fought for equality amid centuries of disenfranchisement and massacres. Students in mind, Wright Lewis strategically embedded core knowledge of language skills that ordinarily prevent urban students from mastering language and writing skills within her text. She also uses language and culture that connect students of color and invite them on journeys about their lives. For over 35 years, Wright Lewis served Brooklyn youth adults, and teachers as a high school English teacher, mentor, UFT teacher trainer, and English professor. She continues to serve students through Megar Evers College Center for Black Literature as Program Director of Re-envisioning Our Lives Through Literature, and as Executive Director of her nonprofit, Power in the Pen Writing Workshop, Inc., Kathy Wright Lewis, where culture and literacy and spirit meet.
Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to tune in live on Tribe Family Channel as we honor the Tougaloo Nine with two of the members of the Tougaloo Nine on March 27th, 2024, the 63rd anniversary of their civil rights activism as they breached the Jim Crow whites-only library in Jackson, Mississippi. Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, led, trained, and mentored by the late great Megar Wiley Evers and Dr. Geraldine Hollis, will be my special guest along with friends of Megar Evers and others. Be sure to join us March 27th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. You're listening to A Book is Born. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator of A Book is Born on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumble for the Soul international family brand. I'm also a publisher. If you are looking to publish your memoir, I would be more than interested. If you have nonfiction, Black history, historical writings, let's talk. I love that type of literature. GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com. I'd like to hear from you. Now I'm back to hear from Mark. Mark, let me get to my list of questions. Now, are you self-published or represented by a literary agent or publishing house?
Self-published on Amazon.
All right. Congratulations on that. Now, when you came up with the idea for this book, what type of state of life and what was your situation at the time that you came up with the book? I know you briefly, you know, discussed when God gave it to you, but paint the picture for, you know, the steps after that seed was planted.
Well, I just felt like I needed to express myself because I had not been talking about how anxiety and depression was impacting my life, my esteem, my manhood, my relationships, my physical health, my mental health, my spiritual health. I just was not being honest with myself about, you know, this clinical diagnosis. And so I started to write about it. And then I, you know, wanted to invite other people to join me in this process, and that kind of took the burden off of me doing a solo book. And, you know, I decided to do an anthology, and that way we would have other Black men from different walks of life share their experience. And they were more than happy to do so. You know, we live in a digital world. Interesting enough, you know, most of the men in this book I've never talked to or never met. You know, we connected on, on social media, and that's just the way it is. And it was frustrating for me because I grew up, you know, having conversations with people. That was just how it was. And today, like, some people just, they just won't pick up the phone. So that's the only way that they'll talk to you is through texting or emailing or, you know, one of the many platforms. But I was just grateful that they were willing. I got a lot of rejection, a lot of indifference. Some men just weren't available. They didn't have the capacity. They had too many other projects. After the first year, I had only two people who were willing to write, and I felt really discouraged. Halfway through the project, my computer crashed, and I lost the whole book. Like, I lost the whole book. I lost the whole book. And, you know, through God's grace and mercy, you know, I had printed out each of the 30 contributions, and so I had to type it up. But it took me a few months because I was very despondent, discouraged, depressed, disgusted. You know, it took me I had to crawl out of that hole. You know, I kept praying and meditating and talking about how I felt, and, you know, eventually, you know, God gave me the strength and the courage to get back on path for my own healing, my own salvation, you know, because I'm still in this journey as well. I'm not somebody on the outside looking in. And, you know, thank God I got it together, and, you know, here we are today. So it's been a journey. You know, healing is ING. Healing is a journey. It's not a destination. There's no Gold Cup. There's no Super Bowl. There's no World Series. There's, you know, healing is a journey. And it was Maya Angelou who said that there's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. James Baldwin says that not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And I believe that Black people have the greatest stories never told. There are a lot of people in cemeteries and who've been cremated who never told their story. And I didn't want to have that. You know, I didn't want to have that as part of my legacy, is not telling my story and not being a part of the legacy of other Black men telling their stories. And so this is how we inspire. This is how we uplift. This is how we motivate. You know, the mental health resources in this book are meant to answer three questions. What can I do? Where can I go? And who can I talk to? And quite often a Black man with mental health challenges has not answered those questions. And so they suffer in silence. That's why it was called Cultural Silence, because culturally, America has never been a safe place for Black men to tell the truth about how they feel, you know? And it started on the plantation. Mm-hmm. So we've learned what happens. When you tell the truth, you're going to lose something, your life, your family, your job, your school, where you live. You're going to lose something when you tell the truth. You know, people don't tell the truth on TV. Television is ruled by advertising dollars. So it's spaces that you have where we can speak unapologetically about our Blackness and speak our truth the way we see it. It's, you know, this is not being edited by, you know, somebody who's getting paid $85,000 a year like they do for the president. You know, he's speaking through a teleprompter. So we get to tell our stories, we get to tell our truth, and that's how we get free. You know, we get free. I get free when I talk about me.
Wow. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and you are live on A Book is Born. I'm Beverly Black, and I'm speaking with author Mark Tuggle discussing cultural silence and wounded souls. Black men speak about mental health. We're going to listen to his Genius is Common video. Genius is Common by Mr. Bruce George, who is also the co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HB.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you lately that I care? Yeah. Have I told you lately that you are wonderful? You're magnificent and so much more. Have I?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess the files got messed up. That is the late, great Sheila Ray Charles. Ray Charles's daughter and a good friend of ours, and that was Have I Told You Lately That I Love You. I don't know what happened to your Genius is Common file that I converted and loaded up into the studio. But let's get back to the questions. Is there anything that you would have done differently? Because you pretty much answered the question that I would have posed about what types of difficulties have you encountered as a writer? This is why this show is called A Book is Born. You went through labor, you went through pain, okay, and you got it here. It is here. Doesn't it feel like your baby?
It is. It is my baby, you know, and I feel very, very connected to it emotionally and mentally and psychologically and spiritually.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, we want to salute you on the birth of your baby. You know, like I said, when you and I spoke earlier, I am the medulla of manuscripts to the Geniuses Common movement. And the reason why this show is titled A Book is Born is because of all of the emotional, spiritual, and physical things that are tied into bringing that story up and through yourself and out onto the pages, and then how you have to toil and get it massaged into place and edited and designed and put in the proper perspective. And by the time you go through all these labor pains and you push for that last contraction to get that baby out. Baby, let me tell you something. I know I'm 20 years in the business, okay? I've talked to everybody. I have published hundreds of people. I know the emotions of what you go through. And like you said, you had two people after a year. Let me tell you something. I've been through that. Been there, done that, brought the t-shirt and the hat to match, okay? And you know, Gumbo for the Soul publishes anthologies, you see. And when it comes to, now you can get, I never had so many people so willing to contribute to an anthology in my life when we were producing Fire and Desire. See, we step up to the plate when it comes to fiction and lust, and I'm not saying Fire and Desire is lust, and I'm not saying it's not. What I am saying is when it comes to digging down deep inside of ourselves and coming back from that place, that inner core, and putting it out on paper and down where the truth needs to be, just like you said, all of the aforementioned reasons why our men have been ostracized to suffer in silence with no place to go, and this book offers those three entities so that they can get the story out. What were the three things that cultural silence and wounded souls, black men, speak about mental health? What were the three things that they can find in this book again?
The mental health the mental health resources are designed to answer three questions. What can I do? Where can I go? Who can I talk to?
And it's just as simple as that. We as a culture, as a race of people, we face so many challenges, so much disparaging, ostracizing, you know, racist, blatant hatred, obstacles that are thrown into our journey, that it's hard to come to the simple things. And it's just that simple. What you just said, it is just that simple. But yet, yeah, as a culture of people, it has been ingrained since they told us that they brought us to this soil, like we weren't already here. Okay.
Right.
But that's
right.
Another story. Another story. We're not going to get off into that. But let's get back into these questions. Who are some of your favorite authors? You mentioned James Baldwin, and you mentioned someone else, Maya Angelou. And I wanted to ask you in that moment, because Nikki Giovanni is a friend, have you ever seen the interview with Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin?
I have. I've seen that several times. It's just amazing because in many ways, he served as a mentor to her because there was a generation gap. And, you know, she got a chance to learn from him because, you know, he had all this wisdom. And it was in black and white, and she was smoking her cigarette. And, That was powerful. And it's on YouTube. You can actually, you know, if people are interested.
Oh, yeah.
You know, interview
with
James Baldwin. Yeah. You know,
yes,
it was crazy.
Yes, very,
I didn't learn about
James
Baldwin until I was in like 21 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was in college,
well,
and I went to the library one day.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, we can't know everybody all at the same time. So one of the beauty of it is that he came into, you know, your sphere when he was supposed to. And
yeah.
Because there are still people that don't know James Baldwin and the, you know, just some of the profound thoughts that he has given us. I could listen to him speak and debate all day.
When I read Another Country, something in my spirit said, you know, you should become a writer. So he actually inspired me to do what I'm doing 40 years ago.
Okay, go down that road and repeat yourself. You said something about you were in another country?
No, his book, Another Country, I read that book.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
That book,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That book inspired me to become a writer. He
wow.
planted that seed.
Wow, okay.
There's so many people that
all
plant
right.
seeds, and we just, sometimes we're just not ready. You know, we're just not ready in that moment to nurture those seeds. And everybody's ready when they're ready, you know, but he planted that seed and so many others along the way. But I'll always remember that day when I went to the library and I stumbled across Another Country and I couldn't stop reading it. That led me to Zora Neale Hurston and Larry Neal and Sonia Sanchez and Tzolk'in Shange and Haki Madhubuti and Amira Baraka and so forth and so on. Yeah, so, I mean, we have such a history. We have such a legacy of Black writers, you know, before the Harlem Renaissance.
Yes. Well, I surely want to thank you for the ones that you just ran down, some profound, powerful minds, and to be able to sit at their feet is a blessing. We have had the luxury of becoming friends with Nikki Giovanni, having her on Tribe Family Channel and sitting at her feet. Spoken Poets Intellectualizing will be coming back April 1st. I believe it's going to be season 3, and we're going to create a CD to gift Nikki Giovanni with. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear the sound of my voice and you want to be involved in honoring Nikki Giovanni for National Poetry Month, visit or email tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. All grammatically correct, T-R-I-B-E. FamilyChannel@gmail.com. Now, let me ask you, Mr. Mark Tuggle, where do you see yourself as a writer in the next year or two? One of my quotes and mantras is that everyone has a story to tell. Who will you trust to tell yours? So where do you see yourself as a writer in the next year or two, having launched or debuted with this book and having trusted the process?
Well, thank you for that question, because I actually have three primary objectives. Number one, I would like to create a documentary on Black men and mental health, using this book as a platform. Number two, I would like to partner with an NBA or NFL team where we could have a series of workshops around mental health and have every coach, player, trainer, chef, publicist, manager, et cetera, have two copies of the book, one for themselves and one for a friend to give. Number three, I would like to have my books as part of a curriculum of an HBCU. So when people are studying social work, part of their curriculum, they would have to read my book to get some information and some inspiration around Black men and mental health, because medical research, they focus on poverty, not racism. They don't study anti-Black racism. They don't study anti-Black misandry. You know, they focus on poverty.
Mm.
So there's this idea that if a white person and a Black person are suffering depression and they're both poor, it's the poverty. That's the issue. If they have some food. But they don't study the white body supremacy, you know, that we all have to deal with as part of our ancestral DNA every single day. The leading cause or the highest rate of suicide right now are Black boys ages 5 to 12 in the United States. And nobody's talking about it. Black boys ages 5 to 12. Black boys 5 to 12 die by suicide twice as often as white kids with the same age. And, you know, language is really important. I have learned to change the way I speak around suicide. I don't use the word commit anymore. To say that someone committed suicide is to imply or suggest that that individual was a criminal, was immature, was selfish, was unethical. That's a moral judgment. Just recently, Regina King sat down for the first time in 2 years to talk about her son, Ian, who died by suicide a couple of years ago. And she said that was his choice. She said her son told her, "Mommy, I don't want to be here anymore." They tried medication. They tried therapy. They tried institutionalization, you know, and despite his joint happiness, he chose to end his life. When I was 21 years old, I had an aunt who did the same thing, put a gun to her head. She was the first Black woman to have her own TV show in Chicago. She was the first Black woman to have her own column in Chicago Sun-Times. She had so much joy and happiness. She would light up the room when she walked through the door. But on my 21st birthday, I came home to find out she had put a gun to her head, and she ended her life. And nobody in my family talked about it. Cultural silence.
Cultural
we didn't talk about
silence.
It.
Well, I was 17 years old when my brother put a gun to his head and committed suicide in front of my mother, her aunt. I'm pretty sure my grandmother was there, and my cousins. I wasn't there. I was a senior in high school. It would take 41 years later before I would become an advocate for suicide, and if you go to GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com, you will see a calls for submissions for suicide is not the answer. And we also want to remind everyone to call 988 if you feel like you are anyway suicidal and depressed. And we pray to God that you get the help that you're seeking and that you find joy in living. I saw the interview with Regina King, and that was very touching. You know, she's a beautiful, accomplished queen, and it just goes to show you that we're all affected by suicide. And I definitely want to have you as part of the anthology. I want to help promote your book and your work, and definitely want to continue to stay in touch with you. Now, you see how fast an hour goes by? I didn't get to any of the questions that I have. But let me ask you this. What's on the horizon? You know, do you have any events coming up, any future interviews? How can people reach you if they want to get you on their show? And I definitely want to thank you for such a profound and transparent conversation here on A Book Is Born. Mr. Mark Tuggle, where can our listeners find you?
So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Twitter, Mark J. Tuggle, T-U-G-G-L-E. My email address is mjt975@msn.com. I have a website, culturalsilencewoundedsouls.com. I have a new talk radio show that I co-host every week with Lester Kenyon. It's called The Mental Health Mirror with Mark. And it's every Saturday night at 7 p.m. on FetLife Station, FETELIFE Station. Each week we explore ways for men to learn how to include emotional intelligence, psychological liberation, self-care into their daily lives. Saturday, April the 13th, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be co-hosting a virtual webinar that is free. It's called The Men in Mental Health, A Global Dialogue with Brothers. I'm co-hosting with our MC and mental health advocate in Johannesburg, South Africa, named Tommy Rubushi, also known as Mr. Wiz. This is the second time we've done it. We did it in February. So, you know, I'm invested. I'm very passionate about black men and mental health. Queen of Four said that health care is self-care. So it's really important that we take care of ourselves, body, mind, and spirit. You know, we are all we have, and it's important that we do the best that we can with what we have, that we honor our temple, that we feed our spirit, that we try to eat healthy, we try to exercise, we try, you know, to play with the animals and, you know, to love on the kids and take care of our elders, go for a walk, go to the gym, you know, eat right. Prayer, meditation, journaling is very helpful. Music, comedy, sports, there's dance therapy, there's art therapy, there's music therapy. You don't always have to sit down and talk to a professional. You know, therapy really helped me a lot because I was diagnosed with HIV positive 29 years ago, and I needed somebody to talk to. I knew that instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
But therapy is not a one-size-fits-all solution. Sometimes we tend to blame and shame men who choose not to engage in therapy. You can talk to a life coach, a social worker. You can join a community-based organization. You can start your own support group once a month. Invite your homies over, sit down for an hour, bring some pizza, and chop it up. What's going on with you? How are you feeling today? What's on your heart? What's on your spirit? Once a month. You can do that right now. Call five of your homies, invite them over once a month, and chop it up. That can be your support group, you know, because we need to support each other. We need to support each other.
Wow, wow. Mark Tuggle, ladies and gentlemen, on A Book Is Born. I want to congratulate you on your fine work for self-help in our community, Cultural Silence and Wounded Souls. Black Men Speak About Mental Health. And since this show is A Book Is Born, we're going to play Happy Birthday by the Shadlights. Because why? Because when there's a birth, that's a birthday. So happy birthday to your book, to your work, to your phenomenal work. Just congratulations all around to everything that you're doing. Stay connected with me. And if you'd like to listen to the archives of this show, be sure to log on to blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Now, speaking of the Shadlights, Dr. Marshall Thompson and I will be starting up season 7, April 3rd. I was trying to get Switch on the show, but I just can't seem to narrow them down, so I don't know who we're going to start our season with, but I promise you it's going to be hot and it's not going to be someone that we've had already. It will be a list. So be sure to tune in, become one of our followers, blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Again, if you'd like to be a guest on Tribe Family Channel, give us an email, send us an email at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. If you have a book in you and everyone has a story to tell, I don't know who you trust to tell yours, but you can definitely hit up your girl. Gumbo for the Soul Publications has been in effect for 20 years. Some of our co-signers are Tavis Smiley, Bruce George, Marvin Winans Jr., and many, many others. So be sure to connect with us. Lastly, we will be back on the air This Thursday, my guest on A Book Is Born will be Kathy Webb discussing her book. So be sure to connect with us, and thank you once again for connecting and listening to us for another episode of A Book Is Born. Mr. Mark Tuggle, thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention to the message that you're bringing forth, and I hope that you will become a contributor to any of our anthologies at GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com. But we're going to go out celebrating your book and playing Happy Birthday by the Shy Lights. Here we go. You have a blessed evening, and thank you once again for being our guest here on A Book Is Born. Take care.
Happy birthday, yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and many, many more to come.
We'll be right back. Tribe Family Channel.